You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
Going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, balling a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
Enjoying a great sandwich here at Arby's. One, their classics, the beef and cheddar.
I'm joined here also by Mr. John Easter.
Levon, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
Good.
And, of course, I'm joined here by the great head coach of Ben Davis Football this year.
You can take that great off anytime.
Well, how are you doing?
Just the coach of Ben Davis, man. Happy to be coaching at Ben Davis. That's great. Another great evening at Arby's. Weather isn't cooperating very much with us. I'm not a fan of this weather. I don't know if it's going to rain, lightning, be so hot it's disgustingly humid out. I don't know. But I'm doing all right. It's good to be here on another Tuesday.
Well, of course, last week a 44-19 win for another season opener yet again for the Ben Davis Giants. What happened in that game? What do you guys take from it? What's going on moving forward from that game?
Well, honestly, we got off to a great start. We came out, we got a force good field position. We got a great kicker right now, Chris Flores. We hope that continues. He boomed the ball. You know, by kicking it in the end zone like he does, it gives us a chance to make him go 80 yards. And we forced a punt early, went down and scored. Forced another punt, went down. Chris Flores kicked his first field goal ever in a varsity football game. Got up 10-0, you know, kind of got them on their heels a little bit. And then Antonio McEwen blocked a punt, scooped his own block, scored it, 16-0, get the ball back. It's 23-0, you know, and that's all in the first quarter. And I think we kind of hit them hard, hit them with a buzzsaw real quick, got them on their heels. But typical cathedral fashion, you had to fight, you know. And they came back and they responded with a touchdown drive of their own and got to 23-7. But what I liked is we responded immediately with another touchdown of our own, made it 30-7. I think the halftime score was 30-10. I thought we came out second half and we were a little bit sloppy. I didn't think we came out with the same focus we came out in the first quarter, and that bothered me a little bit and got a little frustrated with the penalties as the game wore on. Most of them were legit. There were a couple that were not. You know, we got called for one where there was 12 guys on the field, and we argued, and sure enough, we pulled up the film, and we only had 11. And, you know, that was when they snapped the punt, and the punter dropped it, and we'd had the ball at about the 15 and didn't get it the way we wanted. But that's the way it goes, you know. So, you know, and I thought we responded. You know, we subbed everybody out in the fourth quarter, and it's kind of hard to play. But Cathedral's very physical. They're going to be good when the time comes. They were playing a lot of young kids, first-time varsity game. I was real pleased with the way our defense responded. We were very untested on defense, and obviously we'll get another big test again this weekend. But I thought the offense executed very well. I thought Kyle ran things well. Dorian Tate ran the ball well. We threw the ball to six different receivers. True Smith, in his first varsity game ever, had eight catches for 135 yards and two touchdowns, and he's never played varsity receiver in his life. That was the first game for him. So that's big. Story had four or five catches. Chris Evans had several. So it was kind of spread around. So overall, it was a good. I just felt like from the penalty standpoint and some of the mental mistakes we made as a game wore on, from a coaching standpoint, I was not pleased, so to speak.
Coach, I heard you talking to Bob Lovell after the game on Friday night, and one of the first things you mentioned was about a block kick early helping fuel your team. Talk about that seems to be something that's always been important to the Ben Davis strategy in terms of attacking teams and getting block kicks there.
Yeah,
talk about
there's no question. You're right on, Jeff. the way we structure practice, and it's a little unique in the sense that most teams will have what they call a special teams period that they go through their kickoff team, their kickoff, and it may last 10, 15 minutes. The way we do special teams, I think, is pretty unique to us. You know, we'll do a warm-up, and then we'll have a 10-minute punt period where we're going live punt. Then we go to some technique time. Then we have a 10-minute kickoff period. Then another 10-minute kickoff return period. Then a 10-minute field goal period, all mixed in different places. And when practice is over and somebody says, why does it take you so long to practice? Because in practice, we literally spend 40 minutes of special teams time, which is way, way, way above what most people ever spend. Because I've always believed we give it lip service. Most coaches say, you know, special teams are one-third of the game. We're going to give it, but they never give it one-third of the practice because you got to have offense. You got to have beef. We truly give special teams one-third of our practice. And on top of that, you got a coach like Dan Schwanekamp, who's our special teams coordinator, who just does an unbelievable job analyzing film, trying to get mismatches, trying to figure out where we can take advantage of it. And I thought we had a huge advantage in our kicking game on Friday.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, Coach. I thought when you looked at how Cathedral played, I mean, that was big. It seemed like they were having trouble getting the snap back to the punter a few times. And, you know, the way that the defense was playing as well, you forced them into a lot of punts. So that was obviously something very good for the Giants on Friday. When you look at Cathedral, though, you said you think they're going to be pretty good. Obviously, they get a measuring stick again this week. They play Warren Central. So you get Ben Davis first week. You play Warren Central the second week. Coach Stripe does that on purpose. We know he does. Do you think they're still a threat to win it all in 5A?
I think they're still the favorite to win it in 5A. Now, I could be way off base. I don't see all the other 5A teams. But here's what they got, besides great coaching, Tim Barthel, Rick Stripe, great coaches. Here's what they got. They are very, very physical. Even though we scored 44 points, had almost 500 yards of offense, they were hitting us and hitting us. And our kids knew when the game was over that they got hit. Not that we weren't physical, not that we weren't hitting, because I thought we were. But the bottom line is, if you got a team that's willing to stick their nose on and you clean up some other things, that was Max, their quarterback. That was his first varsity start. You know, he was under a lot of pressure. We kind of came after him. We got some things going. You know, he's going to get better. He's got a strong arm. He's got great feet. And those receivers, there was three new starters of the four. They're tall. They're 6'2". They drop two or three that would have kept some drives alive that they probably won't drop as they get older and mature. So, I think it's I really do. I still think you got to look at them as the favorite in 5A.
Well, Coach, I know a lot of people that first game against Cathedral, they were paying attention to the defense, and when it came to that defense, you had three returning seniors. Asmar Bilal kind of seemed to show out the most out of this first game. But one thing that I saw, and I know, doing the broadcast that we saw, was that when it came to the running game, you guys seemed to very struggle. That's when they kind of started getting the ball movement more. Was it just Caleb Cross that gave them trouble, or is the defense struggling against the running game?
Well, Caleb Cross is a really good running back. He only rushed for 1,500 yards last year. So, and honestly, he's a big kid. He's 6'1", he's 190 pounds, and he runs really well. He's a great football player. But they kind of run some different plays. They were running a counter play at us that we hadn't spent a lot of time on, hadn't seen a lot on film, and that was giving us some issues. We were out of position. Our DNs were kind of out of position on a couple things that we had to get fixed in practice. We gave up some rushing yards, but they finished 7 of 27 throwing for 114 yards and two picks, and they ended up rushing for just a little over 100 yards. And when you're playing a good team like Cathedral, they're going to get some yards. That's just the way it is.
Measure out, what kind of grade would you give your own team for starting out a season?
I mean, that's a good question. That's a real good question, because I don't know if my players are listening, because they may not like the answer here, but they're going to get a C, maybe. And again, the Indianapolis Star asked me right after the game. He goes, Coach, what an impressive game. You guys blew them out. I said, my first response was, what game were you watching? I said, we get caught up in looking at the scoreboard, and the scoreboard says 44 whatever. you know, and I'm looking at it from a perspective, we had to burn timeouts because we had the wrong personnel on the field. We ended up with 12 penalties for 100 and some yards, and some of the penalties were just stupid penalties, you know. We misaligned at times. We didn't get the right calls in. Our body language wasn't good when things were going bad. Our body language wasn't what it should be. I thought our focus coming out of the locker room at halftime was poor. You know, and so when you look at those things, did we score a lot of points? Did we move the ball? Did Kyle throw it really well? Yes, 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 yes. But then you got to take the other side of the equation. You factor it into it. You're a C team. If you want to achieve greatness, and they always tell me they do, right? We want to win. We want to be the best team in Ben Davis history. Then the attitude and the mental focus and the penalties and the lack of discipline and getting on the field when the kickoff team is supposed to be on the field, that's got to end. When I get 140 guys thinking the right way all the time, then you start to achieve greatness. So if my players are listening, you get a C. You know, and I'm probably being generous with that. If I was really grading it like I would grade a paper, you'd probably get a D. You know, but there's always more to be done.
Coach, that's pretty nice to be able to give a C to a 44-19 victory. But I understand what you're saying. A coach is never happy when it comes to that. But, you know, as we close out here on the first segment, this is the last time, at least for a while, that you'll be playing Cathedral. Of course, certain things could happen. And I know if they advance, I think, to at least the semi-state, I think they get bumped up again to Class 6A under the new proposal. And that would probably land them in either this sectional or maybe the sectional on the east side with Warren, or, you know, who knows where they would land. But, Coach, as you look back at this series with Cathedral, and, you know, it could be, you know, we thought it was done several years ago and then it was revived. But as you look back, what do you take away from it?
Well, when I first got to Ben Davis and I was an assistant or Coach D, I think we played him in 3 years. I think we played him in 2002, 2003, 2004. Does that sound right?
Right.
And they were down a little bit. If I remember, the scores were 47-0, 30-0, and 19-0. Since then, they've regrouped. What I'm really going to take away, throwing out this last game, if you take away the other three, they were all three excellent football games, fun to coach in, down to the wire, making you play your best. I love the rivalry. I'm sorry to see it go. You know, if they get 6A, that'd be great, because it is a good rivalry. We had a great crowd, great atmosphere. Both sides were chanting and yelling, and I'm going to miss that. And I miss going against Rick Strife. I'm just telling you, folks, he's a great football coach. Him, Tim Barthel, they're great football, and they're good people. You know, I don't care what anybody says about what they get, what they don't get, what we don't get. It's a great rivalry, and it's sad that it's coming to an end again, but who knows down the road what may happen.
Well, we're going to take this to the halftime break, and we'll be right back here with more Inside Ben Davis Football. But first, a 30-second break here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
WBDG thanks Classic Kings Automotive, located at 8485 West Washington Street. Classic Kings services include the restoration of foreign, domestic, and vintage classic cars and newer autos as well. Classic Kings also offers sales and brokerage services. 317-333-4427 is the number for Classic Kings. On the web at ClassicKings.com. Thanks to Classic Kings Automotive for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast.
Here we go. Welcome back. Welcome back to Ben, or not to Ben Davis, but to RB, right across the street from Ben Davis High School.
Right. We can see Ben, well, I kind of sort of see a corner of the ninth grade center from here.
We're back with the Inside Ben Davis.
Is that the MPA? That's the MPA.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, we're back with more Inside Ben Davis Football. Once again, joined with Jeff Robinson.
Yep.
John Easter.
Hello.
Forgot to mention my name again, LeVon Durden.
There you go.
And head coach of the Ben Davis Earnings football team, Coach Mike Kirshner. And, Coach, next week, or this Friday, in fact, you guys take action against the Avon Orioles. First time you guys really played them in the regular season, at least since you've been head coach. Maybe way back in the day.
I think it's all time.
Okay, so first time ever.
First time since 1961 when Avon.
And your dad was
and I know why, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
Well, it's the first time that you're taking them on in the regular season where the Giants really have. Avon is known to keeping it close at the beginning, that if you allow them to keep it close, then they can usually stay into it. Last year in the sectionals, that's kind of what happened. And then the second half, that's when you guys kind of took over. Are you worried about it this time, especially after they came off a win 28-21 at Lucas against LC?
Yeah, there's not a opponent on our schedule that doesn't worry me. I'm not going to sit here and I'm not blowing smoke. Mark Bless does a great job, great program. Kids are disciplined. You know, he's got a Division I quarterback in Brandon Peters. He's got a tailback that rushed for 200 yards last week. He's quick as anything we've got on our team. You got a big D lineman in Joe Belden that's committed to IU's. Big, strong, physical, athletic. Their linebackers play downhill. Their O-line is very large people. You know, you got the one left tackle's 6'5", 290, and the other one is 6'3", 270. And so they present all kinds of problems for us. They're coming off with a huge win over Elton Central. They came from behind. Haven't been able to watch the film. They were down, like, I think 23-7 at one point. Came back and won at 38-31, scoring 31 points in the second half. And we're going to have our hands full. The atmosphere over there is going to be phenomenal. There's going to be lots of people. They're going to have a huge crowd. They have a great following. We're going to have to play one of our best games. I keep telling our players there are no there are no games I circle where I can say, all right, we get to back off. None of those exist. If we don't bring our A game on Friday, we won't be successful. That's bottom line.
A couple years ago, I believe you played Avon in a sectional game that turned out to be just an offensive shootout there. This game, to me, looks like it has the same potential.
Could be. You're talking about the sectional championship 3 years ago in 2011. I think we scored 60-some, and they scored some.
65-42, something
like
that.
Yeah, at one point, going into the fourth quarter, I think the score was like 50-something-20, and they started throwing it, and we couldn't defend them, and it was touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And it was like, oh, my God, stop.
We're going to be here all night.
You know, yeah, and we felt like we were. But it could be. I mean, Brandon Peters can throw it anywhere. He's got great receivers, and the young kid by the name of Andrew Griffin, whose older brother was a phenomenal football player and basketball player, Kendall. He's really good. They got a big tight end they like to get the ball to that's really good. And I'll tell you what, I'm really impressed with their tailback. I just think he's the kind of kid that can – he's got a great jump cut, slides out, pops out, runs hard. He's tough. He's physical. You know, I know there's a lot of the talk is with their quarterback, and rightfully so, being that as good as he is. But we can't sit on that tailback or we'll be in trouble. It could be. Let's hope it isn't. But, again, our defense is – we'll find out a little bit more about our defense. Their offense is a little different to Cathedral's and going to require us to do some things differently, and we're going to find out if we still have the right kids in the right place.
Last year's game, I think LaVon mentioned it briefly there, a game where they actually had the lead on you guys for quite a while, I think in the first quarter, and you were finally able to take over. How much can you take from last year's tape and last year's game? Obviously, Peters is still around, but a lot of new faces for them, a lot of new faces right. for the Giants. How much can you take out of that game and apply to this?
Well, you take a few things. One, you look at personnel. You look at who's returning. They return both guards, who are excellent football players. They return Brandon Peters, the tailback. You know, the tight end was a sophomore last year, played against us. They lose a kid by the name of Kimbrough, who was an unbelievable wideout. I mean, he was faster than any kid we had on our team. We struggled. We double covered him. Just because we couldn't single cover him. Defensively, they lost, they lost the big Duffin kid who's at Miami of Ohio. And so they lost some good players on defense. But what you really take from watching last year's film is maybe what their thought was in game planning against you. If you're going to do this, then maybe they were trying to do this that was giving us issues. So you kind of look to see what you didn't do well last year against them that maybe they're going to look at trying to take advantage of. And you've got to now look and find ways to clean that up a little bit.
Well, of course, Avon is a game before you start getting to section – or not sectional, but conference games within the MIC. And, of course, the MIC is brutal as ever. Avon, one of the things that you've had, like you talked about earlier, were penalties and of that sort. Avon is known for running the ball really well, especially this year. And penalties, getting people to jump off sides. You've had that issue against Cathedral. You've had that issue last year. How are you trying to go at that to ensure that doesn't happen against Avon?
Well, you just keep coaching the kids. The bottom line is you keep coaching. You give them consequences when they jump off in practice. They jump off. You saw it Friday night when Gary Coleman jumped off sides. He immediately sprinted to the sideline because
yeah.
he knows the answer is I'm going to get on the sideline. I'm going to do push-ups. And it's the same way we try to treat it in practice. And you just hope the kids get to the point where they discipline themselves and they take care of it. Because if you don't cut down, we call those penalties selfish penalties. If you don't cut those down, ultimately you're going to get in a situation where those will hurt you. And if you refer back to the Pike Sectional Championship last year, we had a couple. It was a fourth and four situation, and they intentionally were trying to draw us off. They had no intention of running a play. We jumped. They went down and scored versus a punt, which now the game's changed again. And so, you know, you just got to hope your kids are disciplined enough and you're doing the right things as a coach to get them to understand the level.
I'm glad LaVon mentioned conference play coming up soon. You look back at week one, the Hoosier Crossroads Conference was actually 3-2 against the MIC in week one.
Yeah.
Avon obviously being one of those wins for the Hoosier Crossroads. Compare your thoughts in terms of how much has the Hoosier Crossroads closed the gap with MIC teams this season?
What that tells me is they're real close, if not even. I mean, we started off, you know, Noblesville beats Lawrence North. Fishers beats North Central. Avon beats Lawrence Central. So, I mean, you look at it that way, they got an advantage. And then you got Carmel, who, you know, wins a 14-7 game over Hamilton Southeastern that statistically looks like it could have gone maybe either way. And I don't remember what the other one was.
Noblesville over Pike.
Brownsburg lost to Pike. Yeah, that was the only game of the four.
Yeah, yes.
That was the only game of the five that was lopsided.
Yeah.
You know, and even that was close at halftime. You know, I believe it was, 28-14 or
28-13.
28-13.
Yeah.
So what that's telling me is the Hoosier Crossroads is real close, which we've always known that. And everybody has ups and down years. Everybody has their, you know, there'll be times when Ben Davis or Warren or whoever's not going to be what they were the year before. Because unlike the NFL, I don't get to draft my players and pay them lots of money and keep them. This group of seniors, which is a pretty good group for us, will move on. And then there's better be another group that's just as good. Well, that may not be the case. And then you're kind of up and down. But I don't expect anything less from the Hoosier Crossroads. I don't know that any of them can't hang with anybody we play.
Well, and you know, some of those games you talked about, the Carmel game being close. Lawrence North loses on a kick return in that game.
Is that what it was? Yeah, I never heard.
I overheard it driving home from
Bob Levels. So they had taken the lead 33?
They had taken the lead with 40-some seconds left on a flea flicker. And then Noblesville returns a kick on him to win the game.
Wow, I hadn't heard that.
So, yeah.
I hadn't talked to anybody.
Yeah, that's your 21st straight. That's quite a way to lose your 21st straight.
Is that what it is?
I think it is. Straight? I think they're 21 now. But they get a chance this week with Brownsburg. I mean, that should be a real competitive game, you would think. But as you look at your schedule, and I'm looking at it now, that's what I was working on while you were talking about that last, while you were answering the question I asked a moment ago. You look at this. This is the west side. You're in the middle of the west side portion of your schedule. You get Avon this week. You get Pike. I don't see Decatur Central on here, unfortunately, or else that would be right down the west side.
Right.
I guess maybe Covenant, since they just started, or Speedway. You could throw them in the mix. But you get Avon and Pike, two rivalry games, I think you could say, even though this is the first regular season game, I think this is a budding rivalry game.
Right.
I think people will see that on Friday night. Pike, obviously. You know,
huge rivalry.
One of those things where either team likes each other too much. They respect each other, but don't really like each other. Center Grove.
Yep.
Warren Central.
Yep. Great time.
How about that?
But that's just the way it is.
And we wonder why Coach Kirshner doesn't have hair.
Yeah, that's exactly. No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. No, it's 4 weeks.
Because if you had any, it'd be coming out.
Yeah, it's 4 weeks. It's brutal. You know, but that's, you know, it's not. In our conference, it's not really different for anybody else. It's not, you know, last week Warren and Center Grove, and that's a conference game. They have to open up with each other.
Right.
You know, and then Center Grove finishes with, I believe, Cathedral week 9 this year, which is a big change for them. And this week, Lawrence Central is going to go play St. Ignatius.
Right.
You know, which is a powerhouse out of Ohio.
I'm thinking about going and watching that game on Saturday.
And is Carmel playing Trinity?
Yeah.
And Carmel's got Trinity, a powerhouse out of Kentucky. So
North Central has Hamilton Southeastern.
Yeah, so nobody really has a way around anything.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know, if you're a big school, you got to play the big teams. You can't go – you can't do an SEC team where you try to go play Townsend State for a week and get healthy and beat up on them and play a lot of kids. It's just the way it is. You know, we got to go play a great Avon team. We got to go find a way to beat them. We got to find a way to execute better. We got to find a way to be more disciplined, control the line of scrimmage, and do all the right things.
That was 21 in a row.
Is that where Lawrence Rell in?
Lawrence North. You feel they're ready, though, I think, to get off that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They'll get it eventually.
Yeah. Hopefully not not September 26th. That's always.
Yeah.
Just hearing you mention something about staying healthy there or taking a lighter opponent to stay healthier. How did your team come out?
Great. Great. We don't have any. I mean, we got some kids that are bumped and bruised, but everybody's practicing. You know, we didn't. Like I said, it was pretty clean game from that portion of it. You know, we had a kid get hurt in practice yesterday, so we don't know what his status is. I mean, he's not out for the season, but he may be out for Friday. You know, it's not a big deal, but it may require a few days off. So but that's all right. That's the nature of it.
That's one thing I did notice from the beginning of the season. It was the first time you'd really had a lot of heat. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you up until Thursday, Friday of last week, we hadn't had much heat.
No.
So it seemed like the team really responded well.
Yeah, we had Drew Smith is the only one had a little bit of cramping problem. We actually had a couple younger kids cramp on Saturday morning in the freshman game, but he was about the only one, and he could have gone back, but at the time we were up 37-10, and we went ahead and yanked him. But we really didn't have an issue with the heat, and we practiced yesterday just like we practiced any other day. We didn't change what we did. We just drink water. You know, we constantly tell them to hydrate during the day, and we shouldn't have any problems at night. So we were fine.
How much, and this could, I guess you could take this a lot of different ways, but how much does this, the veteran aspect of this team, how much does it help?
Well,
because they've seen everything, they've played in everything, they've done it all, especially on the offensive side.
From the offensive side, it's great because they, you know, you've got, like I told you last week, you got three or four kids who are three-year starters, so they've seen it all. They've played Avons, they've played Cathedrals, they've played Carmels. You know, there's nothing there. We're showing them in practice. They're not looking at it and saying, "Okay, we understand what you're saying and what you want us to do." And again, I alluded to this last week that the test is on the defensive side. You know, we return a couple good kids in Asmar and Norman, but the rest of them are still so in practice. We're still trying to find the right fit for some of those kids, and they're still making mistakes that, if they were seven or eight defensive guys returning, we probably wouldn't be making the same mistakes.
In terms of some of your new starters on defense, where did you feel they made the biggest gain?
Just in understanding what was happening. We had a great pick by our linebacker, John Ward. You know, he dropped underneath a slant route and picked it, and we hadn't seen that in practice. You know, when we go against Kyle Kastner in practice,
we were pretty excited over that.
Yeah, we don't get that. You know, we either throws it before we get there, or we don't get to the right depth. And it was nice just to see us get into the window and understand the concept of the coverages we were trying to play, because we didn't feel like in practice we were always getting that. And we felt like the kids kind of picked up a little bit.
Well, and we got a couple minutes, one more minute. Just how difficult is it for this defense to go against that offense?
It's real tough.
Because we know you go ones against ones.
Yeah, it's real tough. Every day we come off the field as defensive coaches, I'm one of the defensive coaches, and you're like, are we that bad? Are we that bad? You know, are they that good? Are we that bad? Because you get off field, you know, we have competitions and Skelly and 2-minute drills. We just get beat. You know, we don't win. You know, and we're not used to that. Back when Antonio and some of those
was the opposite.
Yeah, we would usually win, and we're not winning. And it's, we give Gatorades to the winners, and the defense never gets Gatorades. And it's like, this is getting frustrating. But, you know, that's the nature of it. And, you know, we expect
iron
that our offense.
Iron,
that's iron sharpens iron. If they're good, makes us better, we'll get better.
Well, Coach, we've reached that time of the show where, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, Purple Rain, man. You were awesome Friday night. You were there. It was a great time. I really enjoyed it. Please, when you get the little rubber footballs, don't throw them back out on the game field while we're playing, because that was a problem. But I need you to go to Avon. It's a 15-minute drive down Rockville Road. It's not hard to get to. Please get your butts out of your chairs, get in your cars, carpool, get them up there, get them going. It's going to be a great backyard rivalry.
We want to be blocked out so we can't even see the game.
That's right.
That means you...
Yeah.
It means it's a full student section.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, thank you. I want to join. Again, thank you, Jeff Robinson.
Thank you for having me.
Again, John Easter.
Thanks, LeVon. Great job.
I want to also thank Brad Perdue back in the studio and Coach Mike Kirshner.
Go Giants.
Well, I'm LeVon Duran. This has been another Inside Ben Davis Football. Friday is the game. Our coverage starts at 6 o'clock again. We got another 1 hour free game. And then, of course, we will see you next Tuesday for another Inside Ben Davis. Another Inside Ben Davis Football. So we'll see you next week. Thank you for joining us. We're going to send it back to the studio here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.